So friends, as we've approached Christmas, we've taken an Advent journey. And for those of you here a couple of weeks ago, you might recall, I mentioned that Advent means coming. So Advent speaks of the coming of Christ, born as a babe in Bethlehem. And as we've anticipated Christmas, we focused on the greatest gift of all. And that is God's gift of himself in the person of Jesus Christ. And so Christmas is essentially the celebration of Emmanuel, as we saw on that little video as it ended there. Emmanuel, God with us. You see, God incarnated himself as a human being, and he came down from heaven to earth as the man Jesus Christ. And Jesus was the visible manifestation of the invisible God. He was the revelation, the revealing, the showing, the making visible of God. And over the past 3 weeks, we've looked on this Advent journey, we've looked at three major themes embodied in Jesus Christ. We looked at love, peace, and joy. And today, this morning, we reach the culmination of our Advent journey by looking at hope. And if my technology works, we should have our slide up there. Booyakasa. There we go. Hope. Friends, hope came to the world in the person of Jesus Christ on Christmas Day. Now, before we go any further, let's unpack this term hope. Generally, in English, when we talk about hope, we are usually expressing a desire to see a certain or uncertain future event happen or not happen. That's what hope is. So for example, on Thursday, this coming Thursday, my family and I are traveling down to the Eastern Cape, and we will, for the first time ever, be camping by the sea. Now I really hope that it won't rain too much, or that the wind won't blow us away. So I actually have two hopes there. We've camped in Limpopo, we've camped in Mpumalanga, we've camped in Gauteng, and generally in these provinces where the rain comes, you have a nice thunder shower, the sun comes out, and we're all happy afterwards. But I know that at the coast, it tends to rain. The weather is different, and the rain can set in for days at a time. And that's not too much fun when you're camping. And so my hope for good weather for the next 10 days is based on an uncertain future event. There is a huge element of doubt. I cannot say, and nor can anyone else in this room say, with any measure of certainty what the weather is going to do. We can only hope that the weather is going to be good. And furthermore, in English usage, in our use of English, hope is generally a feeling that we tend to have. It's a desire. It's a wish. It may be sometimes accompanied by an element of fear or concern or trepidation. I hope it doesn't rain for days on end when we go camping, because if it does, we're going to get cabin fever and kill each other. You see, there's an element of anxiety in my hopes around the weather when I'm on my camping holiday. We're not really going to kill each other, but days of rain aren't going to be too much fun. Now, the biblical concept of hope, on the other hand, is very, very different. The element of doubt is not present in the Hebrew or the Greek understanding of that word as it appears in the Bible. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew word for hope has the meaning of confidence, of security, of being without a care. The concept of doubt doesn't come into that word in the Hebrew or the Greek in the Bible. Likewise, in the New Testament Greek, the word expresses a confident expectation of what is sure. It's a certainty, and there is no doubt. So when the Bible talks about hope, there is no element of chance or doubt. It's speaking of a certainty. And also, biblical hope is not a feeling. It is a reality, and feelings don't come into the idea of hope in the scriptures. Now, in the spiritual, biblical sense, hope and faith are closely related. Hope is built on faith. It is a confident expectation that flows, that naturally flows from faith. Faith, on the other hand, is grounded in the reality of the past. Now, that might sound very technical. Let me try and give you a very practical example. Earlier this morning, I sat on this chair. And I've sat on other chairs in this building. And my experience with these chairs is that generally they hold my weight. Not generally, every single time. Some of them are a bit squonk, I know. I think the kids bend them. But my experience of this chair in particular, and all these chairs here generally, is that they are strong enough to hold my weight. And based on that experience, I have faith in the ability of this chair to hold my weight. And I'm going to sit on this chair in a minute, and as I sit down, I have a hope that the chair is going to hold my weight. Because based on my experience and my faith that comes out of experience, I know without a doubt, with absolute certainty, my hope in this chair is sound, it is secure, it is solid. This chair will hold my weight. In fact, as I sat down, I didn't even have an iota of a question or worry. Oh, heck, what if this chair doesn't hold me? I sat down because I have hope in this chair. Okay, so let's give you an idea. That's what the Christian hope is about. That's what biblical hope is about. It's a certainty. There's no doubt. There's no element of doubt in it whatsoever. Now, without faith, there is no hope. And without hope, there is no true faith. So when we're speaking of hope in the context of the Bible, there is a certain expectation of a future reality, no element of chance or doubt. Now, I've said that we have hope because of Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, who was born on Christmas Day. And I want to take a look at three reasons why we have this hope. Why we have this hope in Emmanuel, in Jesus, God with us. And the first reason why Emmanuel gives us hope is because he is God with us. Sorry, God with us. We so often put our hope and our trust in other things, don't we? We put our hope and our trust in our education, in our job, our money, our abilities, our health, our family. When it comes to politics, we've put our hope in Cyril Ramaphosa and Tito Mboweni to turn the economy and to turn the country around. Some people put their hope in the church to help them through difficult times and to give them meaning. But friends, all of these things are unreliable. Your health can slip away. You can lose your job and your money can run out. Cyril can be hit by a bus. People in the church can hurt you and leave you disillusioned. Your pastor may disappoint you and let you down. He is only a man after all. Friends, if we put our hope in the temporal things of this world, we will almost always be disappointed because these things, whatever they may be, are not the source of hope. The source of hope is God. On that little gift you received, and just a shout out to Mike and Kim Abraham. I know they produce these little gifts every year. This is my first Christmas here, and it's really sweet to see these. So from Mike, that's from Mike and Kim Abraham on behalf of the church. Please go hang them on your tree or put them somewhere visible. So in their absence, thank you, Mike and Kim. On that little angel, you will see a verse, and it comes from Romans chapter 15, verse 13. And this is a prayer that the Apostle Paul is speaking over the Christians in Rome. Let's read that out aloud together. It's on the screen, or you can read it off your angel if you can see. Let's read that together. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Very good. In this verse, Paul starts off by referring to God as the God of hope. You see, God is the only source of hope. God is not a feeling. God is not an uncertainty. In God, we have the confident expectation of what is sure based on our faith. Friends, God is with us. God is with us. God, the creator of heaven and earth, the author and perfecter of our faith, the King of kings and Lord of lords, chose to presence himself with us. God is our hope, not some philosophy, not a theory, not a superstition, not an idol made by human hands or manufactured in a factory by machines. If you want hope, go to the source of hope. Go to God. If God Almighty is with us, we have hope to face everything. And it is God with us, and that is why we have hope. And the second reason why Emmanuel gives us hope is because he is God with us. God. God with us. There we go. God with us. Friends, we have hope because God chose to presence himself with us in the person of Jesus Christ. God has not left us alone. He is with us. He has promised to never leave us nor forsake us to the very end of the age. He never promised us an easy life where there is no pain and no struggle, but he has promised to be with us through it all. In all our trials and tribulations, through the good and the bad, he is constantly with us. There will never be a moment in your life on this earth when you will ever be alone or separated from God. That is a spiritual impossibility because God is everywhere all the time. With the psalmist David, we can say, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Friends, God is with us always. And this brings incredible hope, for we will never be alone. Any Liverpool fans here? The Liverpool anthem, you'll never walk alone. And that is true because God is with us. The third reason why Emmanuel gives us hope is because he is God with us. Hey, I'm going the wrong way. Friends, I'm sorry. Go forward, forward. God with us. I think every one of us knows somebody whom we perceive to be better off than we are. Whether it is someone who has more money, or better health, or a healthier marriage or family situation, if we look around, there is always something we think someone has that we would love to have. That we would love to have. Someone always has a car that we would love to drive. Someone always has a home that we would love to live in, or a wardrobe that we would love to wear. It's always someone else who wins the 60 million rand lottery. I think we're all familiar with FOMO, fear of missing out. It's a reality for most people because we want what others have. We want to experience what others experience. And the reality of life is that there will always be others who have what we don't have, and who have experiences that we will never experience. And just as an aside, and this is a topic for another sermon, the sooner you can get over the desire to have what others have and can stop worrying about keeping up with the Joneses or the Dlaminis, the sooner you can learn to be content with what you have, and the sooner you're going to be happy, the happier you're going to be. But when it comes to God, he is with us. Every single one of us. None of us are excluded from having God with us. There are no second-class citizens in God's kingdom. You need never feel that someone somehow has more of God than you do, or better access to him than you have. He is with every single one of us. If we call Jesus Christ Lord, then the same amount of the same Holy Spirit is in each of us, and that is the fullness of the Holy Spirit. It's not possible for one person to have more or less of the Holy Spirit than anybody else. There may well be a difference to how people respond to the Holy Spirit. And there may be a difference in terms of how much people bring themselves to under his submission and submit to him. But we all have the same amount of the Holy Spirit. God is with us all of us, and he has no favorites. Jesus is Emmanuel. God with us, and that is our hope. Without him, we have no hope. We can have dreams, we can have plans, we can have ambitions, we can have schemes, we can have aspirations, but we can never have hope because he is hope. He is the God of hope. Going back to our verse, and I'm so scared to not try to do anything. There we go. Going back to our verse, we see that Paul says that the hope that comes from God being with us fills us with all joy and peace. Now, over this Advent season, we've spoken about love, joy, and peace. Joy and peace are probably the two greatest desires of mankind, and yet they are probably the two most elusive things on this planet. Because most of the world is looking for joy and peace in the wrong places and with the wrong things. But we see from this verse that joy and peace can only come from the God of hope. Only He can provide us with joy and with peace. And the joy of God is something that is so perfect and pure. It is unrelated, totally unrelated to our circumstances and has absolutely nothing to do with happiness. The peace of God is described in the Bible as something so exquisite and precious that it surpasses all understanding. The smartest minds, brains on earth cannot figure out or understand this peace. It is beyond understanding. It cannot be described. It can only be experienced. Now, in this verse, we see that Paul piles up the superlatives. Fill, all, overflow. And Paul says that in order for us to experience the fullness of all joy and the fullness of all peace, we need to put our trust in the God of hope. Friends, we need to reach out in faith and grab with both hands the abundant life that God freely offers us in Christ. And then, Paul says, not only will we have hope, but we will overflow with hope. Overflow. We'll have such an abundance of hope that it will well up within us and overflow and spill out of our lives. Something that's overflowing cannot be contained. It just overflows. The dam breaks and it overflows. That's the hope that God gives us. It overflows out of us. And friends, a hope like that is contagious. And contagious hope like that will flow from us into the world around us. And it will transform the world. And that's why Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, Peter says, always be prepared to give. Ay, ay, ay. I'm losing hope in technology. Peter says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. You see, friends, hope, the hope of God is real. It is tangible. It is lived out. The world sees it. People will say, what the heck? Why have you got this hope? If it's not something visible, not something tangible, nobody's going to ask why you have this hope. And Peter says, always be ready to give, be prepared to give an answer to those who ask why you have this hope. What is the reason for this hope? Friends, the hope of God is real. It is tangible. It is lived out by God's people. And it is desperately needed in a dark, lost, and hopeless world. The world is so desperate for this hope that it has come up with many solutions or alternatives to try to manufacture it. And I think we've all at times dabbled with it. We've looked for hope and we've looked for peace elsewhere and we've looked for joy. And many things in this world attempt to satisfy our need for joy, peace, and hope, but they are all counterfeit. And like all counterfeit things, things that are not the real deal, they only provide temporary relief. They are a poor imitation of the real thing. And furthermore, the hope that the world offers is not a biblical hope. The hope that the world provides is not certain. It is based on uncertain outcomes. There is doubt. There is an element of chance. It may or it may not work out. It's a wish. In many cases, it's just wishful thinking. Genuine hope, on the other hand, hope that is certain without the element of doubt or chance, hope that is fueled and driven by joy and peace cannot be found or manufactured in this world. And Paul reminds us in that verse that it is only made possible by the power of the Holy Spirit. It is a supernatural thing. It is a God thing. And friends, God set it in motion before the creation of the world. And He launched it in all its fullness when He chose to presence Himself with us in the person of Emmanuel. Jesus Christ, God with us, born this Christmas day, those 2,000 years ago. Jesus is the reason for the season. Jesus is God's grand plan. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is perfect love. Jesus is our joy, our peace, and our hope, now and forevermore. Amen. I was going to say, this was a charismatic church. I'd have heard a few amens, but I did. Thank you, guys. And so, friends, this Christmas season and going forward into 2019, if you are a follower of Christ, I want to encourage you this morning to be very intentional and deliberate about nurturing this hope in your heart. And by deliberate, I mean taking active and concrete steps to grow that hope, to provide a place for it to grow and to develop and to get stronger. Because I don't think this is something that just happens by itself. You need to be proactive. And so here's an example. I challenge you, before you get out of bed every morning, just take a few moments, and no matter how bad the previous day was, and no matter what you're facing in the day ahead, remind yourself, take a moment to remind yourself again that your hope, your true, sure, real, certain, confident hope lies not in your abilities or your possessions or your relationships or in the things of the world, but your hope lies in Jesus Christ. Remind yourself every day that in Him your hope is secure. It is eternal. It is guaranteed. And it is unshakable. Then start living your life as one with hope in Christ. Don't let the things of the world grind you down and make you lose hope and become hopeless. In the new year, we'll be looking at our vision, mission, and values for the first 3 Sundays as a church. And our mission as a church is to be salt and light. And part of being salt and light is living out in a real and tangible way the hope that we have as God's people. Coming back to that verse in 1 Peter. That should come through. That hope that we have as Christians should come through in our conversations, in our interactions. We are called to be different to the world. And we are because we have this unquenchable hope in Christ, which the world doesn't have. And so as you become intentional about regularly reminding yourself, say that fast, about the hope you have in Christ and nurturing it in your heart, your trust in the God of hope will naturally increase. And as that happens, you will begin to experience the fullness of God's joy and peace. And hope will flow out of you. You will exude joy and peace. And people who come into contact with you will be refreshed. And this is what Jesus meant when he said, come to me and drink from me, and rivers of living water will flow from within you. Can you imagine the impact on the world around us if we just started living out our hope? Oh, may it be so. And this morning, friend, if you are not a follower of Christ, I want to invite you into the fullness of joy, peace, and hope that can only be found in Jesus Christ. His invitation to receive his full and abundant life is open to all people. It's an open invitation. He will never withdraw that invitation, and it's never too late to accept his invitation to full life. But don't delay. He is inviting you into a relationship with you. Maybe this Christmas is the time for you to give yourself the greatest gift, to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Friends, there is nothing more liberating and fulfilling than a relationship with the God of hope. And so, dear friends, in conclusion, as you go out today to celebrate Christmas, I want to echo Paul's prayer, and I pray it over every single one of you this morning. And this is it. May the God of hope, the God of hope, may he fill you with all joy and all peace as you trust him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we just thank you again that we can celebrate Christmas. Emmanuel, God with us. God with us. God with us and God with us. Lord, thank you for what that means. And Lord, as we go from this place, would you just impress upon our hearts, Lord, the fact that you are God with us. Lord, help us to grasp the deep meaning of those words as we go into the year ahead. And Father, help us to live our lives with this hope that you have given us in Christ. Lord, this certain, sure, unshakable hope. Lord, thank you that you are the hope that comes to us. Thank you, Lord, that you are joy and that you are peace. Thank you that you are love. And Lord, as we go, may we just cling to those things. May we know that you are our God who not only loves us, but who is with us. And we thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.